Good morning. I invite you into the sanctuary and welcome you to worship. This morning we begin a three-week series on spirituality. There are many spiritual traditions that tap into God's stream of living water. This week our focus is on holiness. As you prepare for worship, keep these words from Jesus in your mind. If anyone is thirsty, let that one come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from that person's innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Please join me for the call to worship, which is found on the screen. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, for he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and who do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle.
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. Let us pray. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. So take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. To yours, O Lord. Amen. I'll invite the praise team up and we'll sing our first set of songs. You'll find all of our songs on the screen this morning, and I invite you to stand as the praise team comes up.
Thank you. I'm reading from Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17, and it's from the Contemporary English Version. God said to the people of Israel, "I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt where you were slaves. Do not worship any god except me. Do not make idols that look like anything in the sky or on earth or in the ocean under the earth. Don't bow down and worship idols. I am the Lord your God, and I demand all your love. If you reject me, I will punish your families for 3 or 4 generations. But if you love me and obey my laws, I will be kind to your families for thousands of generations. Do not misuse my name. I am the Lord your God, and I will punish anyone who misuses my name. Remember that the Sabbath day belongs to me. You have 6 days when you can do your work, but the 7th day of the week belongs to me, your God. No one is to work on that day, not you, your children, your slaves, your animals, or the foreigners who live in your towns. In 6 days I made the sky, the earth, the oceans, and everything in them, but on the 7th day I rested. That's why I made the Sabbath a special day that belongs to me. Respect your father and your mother, and you will live a long time in the land I am giving you. Do not murder. Be faithful in marriage. Do not steal. Do not tell lies about others. Do not want anything that belongs to someone else. Don't want anyone's house, wife or husband, slaves, oxen, donkeys, or anything else."
I invite you to look to the screen for our litany of wondering and invitation. What is the holiness stream?
A life lived under the character of God.
Why should we explore it?
Because through it we are able to live the life of God in an ungodly world.
It's great to see Tammy here this morning. I invite you up for the children's story, and all the children can come and join her.
Can everybody hear me? Usually I can hear myself and I can't. Anyway, perfect. Well, good morning. As you can see, I've got a little bit more of a challenge than I typically do. I'm usually pretty klutzy, and this time I did a pretty good job. But this morning we're going to talk about a couple things, actually. There are some rules. Now, does anybody play sports? Do sports have rules?
Yes.
Yeah. What about board games? You guys play board games?
Yes.
Snakes and ladders, maybe? You can't just go wherever you want, do you? To follow the rules. So I'm here to share some of God's rules with you. Does anybody want to read? Yeah? Oh, way down there. Tayden, do you want to read that out?
Never hurt anyone.
Do you want to read one?
Always be faithful to your husband or wife.
Do you want to read one? Okay. Don't take anything that isn't yours.
Yeah.
I'll just give you a couple.
Go. Always tell the truth.
Be happy with what you
have.
Don't wish for other people's things.
Always say God's name with love and respect.
Love God more than anything else.
Yeah. And I have 2 left here. Honor the Lord by resting on the 7th day of the week, And don't make anything in your life more important than God. Now, sometimes when we read the Ten Commandments, which is what this was, they are worded a little differently, aren't they? And sometimes they're a little harder to understand. So I found a kid's version, and this was it. So I hope it closely translates. But do you think these rules are important to follow?
Yes.
Yeah. More important than hockey rules? Or Monopoly rules? Yeah, they're important rules that we follow in life. Would we want to hurt anybody? Is that rule hard to follow sometimes?
Yes.
Sometimes it is, isn't it? Yeah, whether we get upset with somebody or whether they've hurt us, sometimes these rules are hard to follow, and some of them are harder than others, aren't there? I don't necessarily find it hard not to hurt people, and I do love and respect my mom, but, you know, more than once this week I've wished for somebody else's leg. So it's sometimes situational, isn't it? Then we have another set. These aren't really rules. These are things that we're taught as Christians to follow and to do. And it's more of a way of being than a law. And we want these things in our lives, not because we're told we should be, although I'm sure most of your parents have told you at least many of these, probably all of them, more than once, probably more than once a day. A few of them are said often in my house. And these are the fruits of the Spirit. Does anybody know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Yeah, you're on the right track, Hanukkah. Yell it out if you know. Any of them. Some of them, yes. Some of the lessons are related directly to fruit. But I'm looking... Yep. Faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience. Yeah. So kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, patience, joy, goodness, love, and peace. So these are things that we do because we want to, or should want to, right? These are things that God has not told us you have to do. He gave us the Ten Commandments. But these are things that we should do because we love God and because we follow God's teachings, right? So we want to be peaceful, to show God our love, right? These aren't things that are rules. They're sort of fruits that we want to grow in ourselves, right? Well, thank you, guys. That's my lesson today. The rules and the fruits of the Spirit. Thanks.
And our New Testament scripture reading comes from Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26. If you are guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires. The Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. They are always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. But if you obey the Spirit, the law of Moses has no control over you. People's desires make them give in to immoral ways, filthy thoughts, and shameful deeds. They worship idols, practice witchcraft, hate others, and are hard to get along with. People become jealous, angry, and selfish. They not only argue and cause trouble, but they are envious. They get drunk, carry on at wild parties, and do other evil things as well. I told you before, and I am telling you again, no one who does these things will share in the blessings of God's kingdom. God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. There is no law against behaving in any of these ways. And because we belong to Christ Jesus, we have killed our selfish feelings and desires. God's Spirit has given us life, and so we should follow the Spirit. But don't be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are.
For the next three Sundays, we'll focus on spirituality guided by Richard Foster's book, Streams of Living Water. We will look at three different spiritual streams. Foster suggests there are six streams which together form Christian spirituality. Today, as you are aware, we look at holiness. As I began to prepare this week, my mind was drawn immediately to the banners beside me and the scriptures which inspired them some years ago. Oh, how often we feel spiritually dry and barren and long to be nourished by a stream of living water. In Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, "But I will bless those who trust me. They will be like trees growing beside a stream, trees with roots that reach down to the water and with leaves that are always green. They bear fruit every year and are never worried by a lack of rain." Oh, we long to be such trees, strong and vibrant, nourished by the living stream of God. In Revelation chapter 22, the first two verses we read, "The angel showed me a river that was crystal clear, and its waters gave life. The river came from the throne where God and the Lamb were seated. Then it flowed down the middle of the city's main street. On each side of the river are trees that grow a different kind of fruit each month of the year. The fruit gives life, and the leaves are used as medicine to heal the nations." Oh, how often our lives are like a barren desert. We long for God. We long to be nourished by the streams of living water, to be saved, to bring healing to our ailing bodies and to our communities. This is our desire, our prayer as seekers of the spiritual life, as we follow the way of Jesus. We follow Jesus as we seek holiness. We seek holiness by imitating Christ. Foster invites us to see that Jesus points us to an inner life with God, an inner life that transforms the heart and builds deeply ingrained habits of virtue within us. If we develop those habits, we will have the interior and spiritual and moral resources with which to respond righteously when we are faced with temptations of any kind. In the way that Jesus was tempted in the desert, following his baptism and responded to each of the temptations which came his way, Foster encourages us as we seek holiness to make good friends with the Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus teaches us a life of virtue. This is holiness. This was the emphasis of our Anabaptist forebears during the Reformation. I was tempted just to read the Beatitudes this Sunday as my sermon and chose not to. Maybe some of you will wish I did. I'm not sure, but I chose not to. But I will commit myself to reading the Beatitudes over the next few weeks and will encourage any of you, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in the coming weeks, to simply live in the Beatitudes for a few weeks, reading them. They are a way to draw us into relationship and to the heart of holiness. We see in them Jesus consistently doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. We see in Jesus deeply ingrained holy habits that he is always able to respond appropriately. This is purity of heart. This is the virtuous life. Holiness can simply be defined as the ability to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. It means being response-able, able to respond appropriately to the demands of life. The word virtue, emerging from the Greek philosophical tradition, simply means to function well. Virtue, to function well. Jesus calls us to a more consistent life, a more obedient life, a more fruitful life, a life filled with holy habits, such that we respond appropriately to life events. Virtue is good habits. Life functions well. Conversely, vice, bad habits, makes life not work well. A holy life is simply a life that works. Now, I suspect this simple definition does not quite fit our typical understanding of holiness. In our world, it is often not seen as a compliment to be seen as holy. Somehow, a sense of arrogance and judgment is associated with holiness, holier than thou. I know that through my maturing years, I have wrestled with what it means to seek holiness and how seeking after holiness can often seem to leave one focused on so many trivial behavioral things, can leave one separated from others or feeling in judgment of others. Like holiness somehow separates us from our neighbor, and in the process, sadly it seems, can separate us from the heart of God. I was reminded this week of leading a youth service trip in the mid-90s and how the Mennonite service coordinator was apologetic for the Quaker person who was leading us in our service project. He was not holy. He was rough around the edges, hair a little long, a little unkempt, not clean shaven, prone to a few swear words around the construction site. "He's not holy, but don't judge him. He's a good person," she encouraged us. In fact, he was a wonderful person, a heart of gold, passion, and acceptance for people who others would rather avoid, a joy to be around. She did not need to apologize for this person. I am sure Foster would have called him holy, and likely so would have Jesus. Read the Gospels and see how many times Jesus turned cultural assumptions upside down. Those who tediously followed every little rule of the law of the Old Testament were surprised and angered to see Jesus' name as holy, the very people who failed to religiously uphold every nuance of the law. Tax collectors, fishermen, Samaritan, etc., etc. The list can go on and on. According to Foster, holiness is sustained attention to the heart. It is about relationship with God, self, and others. I was struck by my rereading of the Ten Commandments this week that the first seven verses are all about focused on how our relationship is with God, being in relationship. The first three commandments take the first seven verses of the 17 verses. This is the core, relationship with God. Everything else flows from this. Holiness flows from the throne of God. Holiness is world-affirming. It draws us into relationship with ourselves, with God, and with the world. Not condoning that which is evil, that which is not life-giving, but if our holiness separates us from others who are different than us, then it does not seem to be the holiness that Jesus taught. Remember Jesus walking through a grain field on the Sabbath. In a strict sense, he was unholy as he took some grain so someone could eat. The holiness police accosted him, "You cannot work on the Sabbath." Jesus was frustrated. "How is it holiness if I respect the Sabbath and let someone starve?" So holiness involves our whole being drawing us into a spiritual pleasures of worship and similarly into the joy of working with our hands, enjoying physical gifts of smell and touch and of human relationship. It calls us into an ever-deepening relationship with God, ourselves, and our community. As individuals in a church, our understanding of holiness, the faithful life, continues to shift over the centuries. We see this movement in the biblical text, from the Ten Commandments to the fruits of the Spirit and throughout church history. This is not threatening to me, but simply the process of holiness as we seek to be drawn into loving unity with God, our Creator, and our Sustainer. Seeking the holy life continues to encourage and challenge us as we grow and mature in purity our whole life long. As we seek holiness, it is important for us, I think, to be mindful of the shadow side of holiness, where the good of the holiness stream becomes distorted. These pitfalls, which Foster names, resonate with my own experience: legalism, Pelagianism, and perfectionism. In legalism, we become focused on the externals, maintaining outward action and appearance over time, not intentionally, not at the beginning, but over time becomes the focus. It slowly becomes about custom and tradition, not about an authentic relationship with God, about acting, thinking, living in a certain way. That becomes the measure of our faithfulness, and these become hotly debated, hoops to jump through. And in this process, over time, some people are in and others are out. The confusing thing in this is that external actions are important. It's not that they don't matter, but they are to grow out of the internal desire to be in relationship with God, not to be better than or prove our worth or measure who is in or out or who is more faithful, or to be assured of my own goodness. So it is important, yes, to discern what it means to live a faithful life. We have the Ten Commandments. We have the fruits of the Spirit. They give witness to how to live, how to love. But they are not the goal. They are the fruit which grows when we are nourished deeply by the waters which flow from the throne of God. I'm challenged by Foster's closing paragraph on legalism. If holiness is primarily a matter of the heart, how can we know who is holy and who is not? Who has it and who doesn't? Legalism, with its external standards, majors in answering this question. I suggest to you that it is a virtue to ignore the question. Pelagianism. This teaching is simply named after a 4th-century monk and basically is any form of earning or meriting our standing with God. Any form of earning or meriting our standing with God. That somehow I can, through my own actions, earn righteousness, can earn God's favor. This has led to some warped thinking of our own human importance in history. As if progress, as if creation is our own doing, the arrogance of thinking that we are in control. And that would be one simple way. How would you define the modern world from the Reformation time until, people will debate, but into the 1950s, we're in the transition, would be to say that the modern people were arrogant. They thought they were in control. And in the past decades, people have been shocked to realize how much we know and yet how little we know, and how little control we have over the forces of this world, the forces within our own mind, the expanse of the sky, and the depths of the ocean. Now, this is not meant to strike fear in us or leave us feeling like nothing matters. In fact, I think it reduces our anxiety, as it reduces the thought that we have to be right, or God will not love us, or we will not be saved. Of course, there are things for us to do. As we enter into relationship with God, we are called to, challenged to, and as we enter into relationship, we naturally want to. It becomes our desire to imitate the life of Christ. The ways of Christ will slowly become our ways. The fruits of the Spirit will become our fruit. As we become drawn into God's love, as we experience glimpses of its depth, we will naturally begin to share sparks of its warmth with others. But ultimately, there is nothing we can do to earn our worth. Holiness is not about earning God's favor. It is about receiving God's love and living from that place of love and acceptance. Finally, perfectionism. And it naturally emerges from the first two. If my focus is on external standards of behavior, and if I feel that I am the one who has to attain those standards, then I will begin to see myself as perfect, or I will strive to be perfect, or quick to see how others are not quite so perfect. This sadly can cut us off from others and from our own selves. Now, the impulse to be perfect is not bad. We are to be perfected in love, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Beatitudes, it is good to intend to be perfect, to make plans to be perfect. This helps push us forward. But there will always remain room for growth, growth in me and growth in my neighbor. As Foster says, you see, God meets us at the point of effort. We do not sit back and expect God to pour righteousness on our heads. There are things for us to do, but the effort is always in a spirit that is non-legalistic, non-works, non-judgmental, non-condemning. And always we realize that we do not have anything that we have not been given. As I reflected on these three perils, I was drawn to the last verse of the fruits of the Spirit, which I had always glossed over before. Often we don't read it when we read the fruits of the Spirit. And it simply says, but don't be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are. Be in relationship. Be in relationship. Desire these fruits of the Spirit. Live them out. But don't be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are. Be holy. Seek holiness. It will bring change to your life. It will impact your relationships and your choices. But we're not to be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are. I think people are looking for such holiness. Foster, as he reflects on Jesus, suggests we are called to replace legalism with love, plagiarism with grace, and perfectionism with growth. I like this. Replacing legalism with love, plagiarism with grace, and perfectionism with growth. In conclusion, holiness involves effort and discipline for sure. It is important to ask how we go about moving forward in holiness. We train. Foster encourages us to remember the principle of indirection. Rather than tackle the issue of virtue and vice head on, we undertake activities of mind, body, and spirit that in time will build spiritual resources so that when the situation calls upon it, we will act appropriately. We gather in worship as a form of this principle of indirection, of training. My mind drifted back this week to the nickel mine shooting some years ago when a man walked into an Amish schoolroom and killed some of the students, a tragic event which shocked North America. People were left wondering, how could this happen? Bad enough in a big city, but in a small, quaint rural community to such a quiet people. However, what seemed to shock people more was how they forgave the shooter and his family. And remembering some of the details, I didn't take time to go back to the book I have about it. But my memory drew up visiting the mom, taking food to her. This is the mom of the shooter, publicly expressing their grief about how hard it must be for the family. Holiness. They acted well in the moment. They were trained in the spiritual life. So in this tragic moment, there was no choice. Jesus forgave. We forgive. Spiritual muscle, holy habits, virtue, holiness. I think at moments we take for granted some of the spiritual muscles we have, or perhaps too often people outside the church only see the legalistic arguments we have around being faithful, being holy. But we are holy, and we have holiness to offer to the world. On Friday, working on my sermon, I received a quick note from a parent of the Adam hockey team, so the team that Jim Shantz coaches and Tayden and Cole play on this team. And it was short and simple. What a kind and wonderful thing you did by setting up a meal plan website for Tammy. You were wonderful. Setting up a meal plan, having many spots filled quickly by church families, this is holiness. Responding appropriately. People watch. People are watching how we live, how we respond. May we celebrate our holiness. May we continue to seek ever greater holiness. Secondly, as we train, we invite others to simply travel the journey with us. These people that we journey with become companions and mentors. For those who watch the movie this on Friday night, The Way, you can think of journeying and the companions who came along and how they shared the journey together. Together we discern, counsel, and encourage each other. We offer perspective and correction to each other. This is why we continue to gather in community, to worship together, and to engage in conversation on how to live life well. It is hard, if not impossible, to walk life's journey alone. And so we continue to walk together. We gather as Nith Valley. We gather as Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. We gather as Mennonite Church Canada. We gather as community to walk a life of imitation of Christ together. And finally, when we stumble and fall, and we will, we get up and we keep going. There are moments of confession and restitution, but we do not need to dwell on our failures and our shortcomings, or on the failures and shortcomings of others. Where we are not yet perfect, we know that we have in Jesus a friend who is perfect, a friend who will not leave us or forsake us. We can relax and simply experience the joy of the journey and of growth. Holiness is a long-term process, looking ahead to the promise of fulfillment which is to come. In the here and the now as we journey, Jesus offers us counsel, offers us grace and acceptance, and calls us to accept this gift and to graciously offer it with companions who we travel with. As I close, I simply will invite you to sit for 2 minutes, I think the song is, in silence and listen to the song Sanctuary. You can close your eyes and simply listen to the words of the song, or if you wish, you can reflect on one of the questions here, which simply, the questions simply are, how have you experienced holiness? Gift or struggle? Or what has been the gift in holiness or the struggle in holiness? And how might you practice holiness in 2015?
I invite the ushers to come forward for the offering. And while they're making their way up, I invite you to turn and sing The Journey to number 148 for our offertory prayer. Number 148. God has shown us the meaning of generosity.
In the rich diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit.
God has abundantly blessed us and called us. Rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. Amen. It's time for announcements, so if you have one to share, you can make your way up.
So I have a couple announcements. First of all, House of Friendship, serving at the House of Friendship, the men's hostel. I sent out an email a couple weeks. I haven't had a whole lot of response, so I've actually printed off the schedule and put it on the bulletin board. So if you're interested in serving in that capacity, please sign up on the bulletin board. Second announcement, or it's actually a question or a plea, I guess. I still have not been able to find the church's chafing dishes. So if anybody knows where they might be, the last time we know we used them was at Canada Day. At the Canada Day brunch, and those are the big dishes we use for warming, keeping the food warm. I have no idea where they are. I know where one is, but I don't know where the rest are. So if you have any idea where they might be, please let me know. And the third announcement, parents may not be too happy about this, but we have snacks after church, kind of some leftovers from Friday night. So we have chocolate bars and popcorn, and we're going to charge 75 cents for a chocolate bar and a quarter for a bag of popcorn. So we've got the popcorn machine going because it just was here from Friday night. So anyways, everybody's in, welcome to sharing some snacks today. Thanks.
As we move into sharing time, I have one announcement to make before we do that. An email had come from Lisa from Interfaith, and Terry would know more of the deep behind the scenes details in regards to some of the building. For Interfaith is excited to have more space at Trinity, some shifting in the daycare program there, so a few more rooms have opened up for Interfaith to use, and there's so a bit of a building renovating fund that's starting. There's going to be an article in the New Hamburg Independent this week or the following week, I forget. And to go with that, I think 5,000 envelopes need to get stuffed with a bit of a description of and looking for donations for the renovation fund for Interfaith. So the announcement simply is that came from Lisa, who's our director there. If there are some people, a handful of people, Wednesday from 12 till 2, this Wednesday from 12 o'clock till 2 o'clock at Trinity Hall, so the basement at Trinity in the eating area there, they'll have some snacks and they'll look for whoever can show up to help. If a few can, that would be wonderful to stuff the envelope with the little donor card, and a return envelope I'm sure is going to go in it for people who would be open to making a donation to support the expansion, renovation that is going to be happening. So it's exciting for Interfaith to have that. So a few churches were sent this note. So if there is one or two of you that think, oh, you know what, Wednesday afternoon, 12 to 2, I'd be open to gather with whoever's there for a bit of conversation and to help in that way, that would be much appreciated. The other one for me, this Friday night is the Listening for Grace play that's at Steinman's Church. I was given 12 tickets. They were spread out to the surrounding congregations. And there's 9 of them spoken for, so there's 3 more tickets. Gladly would like to have someone use them. So if you're at all interested, wondering about that, please talk with me. There's no other announcement, then we will move into the time of sharing. If you have a joy concern that you would like to share with the congregation, I invite you to do so. I did reference in the sermon the email from someone in the community recognizing that they were impressed and how quickly it was organized and how many people from our church responded to prepare food for Tammy. So I think we should celebrate that, moments of generosity and response and the message that does send. People do see how we live, and we need to be aware of that and celebrate that. Others?
And Tammy has been in the community, surrounded by the same 4 walls, and overwhelmed. And I won't be able to get through this without crying, because it's been absolutely ridiculously wonderful to know that I'm so supported. And there have been a lot of comments when people ask me how I'm doing, and I share about this website because it's been so overwhelming. And it's great to just share that with them. So thank you very much, everybody. That's just wonderful. And I'm doing okay. I'm getting around okay, and I don't have any pain. I've had lots of visitors, which has been such a blessing. And just feeling lucky that it could be a lot worse. This is completely healable. Lots of documentaries and music going on at my house, all alone in my living room. So, thank you. Oh, I guess part of it that makes it so easy is I have a little cousin who had a baby the Friday before I broke my foot. And his little son, Peter, is named after my uncle who passed away a couple years ago. And he's not doing very well. He was born with a cord wrapped around his neck, and he was oxygen deprived for, we're not sure how long. The tests have come back that he has minor brain damage, but still some, so that's challenging. And he's also had surgery to remove his stomach and part of his intestine. His kidneys aren't functioning. At this point, he's not peeing enough at all. Just very little. He's on dialysis currently. It's a special kind of dialysis because he wasn't strong enough to do regular dialysis. And he'll be on that dialysis for another 7 or 8 days. I think they started yesterday, and it's 9 days. So we're just, as a family, trying to deal with that. So it puts everything in perspective. It's just a broken foot.
What is the child's name?
Peter.
Oh, yes, Peter. You'd said it.
That's okay.
No, I knew it, but it was not there. Let us take time to pray together. Holy One, we gather in worship this morning seeking your presence, your grace, and your wisdom. Humbly we gather to hear words of hope and encouragement so that we may faithfully live out your message of justice and peace. Confident that you have come to us, we offer our prayers for people and places close to our hearts and for the people and places that are unknown to us and far from us. We offer prayers of healing for 280 child soldiers who are freed in South Sudan. We pray that all children will be free to be children, to play, to laugh, and sleep peacefully at night. We pray for all who work endlessly for the rights of children around the world. We pray for the 43 students who went missing in September in the southern state of Guerrero, Mexico. We pray for their families and friends as they hear reports that the students may be dead. We pray for all who are displaced. We pray for those who live in refugee camps and for all who live in captivity. We pray for your creation. As we hear reports of E. coli in the water in Winnipeg, an earthquake in East Midlands, England, snowstorms in North England and northern eastern United States, the drought in São Paulo and Minas Gerais, Brazil. We pray for all who are affected by these events. We pray for those in our midst, for our leaders in Canada, Ontario, Wilmot and Blandford Blenheim, for our leaders at MCEC and at Mennonite Church Canada. We pray for all who are hurting. We give thanks for this community and for the ways that we walk with and care and support each other. We pray for Tammy that continued healing will come to her leg. And as we do that, we're mindful of the pain that her cousin and family carry as a child. Peter is suffering, is not well. Be with them in this time as they work with the doctors with so many unknowns of what is ahead for their baby. Holy One, in all things for which we pray, give us the grace and the wisdom to accept your will. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll invite the praise team up for our final songs, and you may stand to join us to sing.
Thank you.
Thanks for bearing with us as we try new songs and for joining in with us. It's exciting to get some new music going. As water falls on dry tea leaves and brings out their flavor, so may your spirit fall on us and renew us, so we may bring refreshment and joy to others. Amen.